Luke chapter 7, beginning verse 6. It says, then Jesus went with them. When he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying, unto him, Lord, troubleth not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth. And to one, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned about him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Father, we thank you for the time you've given. I just pray you just bless our time in your word now, Father. And Lord, I just pray you just be with these missionaries. We've heard an update, and Lord, I thank you for what they're doing in Canada, New Mexico, and Lord, just all over our missionaries, just all over the world. I thank you for it. I pray just be with each one now, Lord. I just pray just draw us closer to you tonight as we look into your word. And Father, I just pray just bless it to our hearts and lives in a way that only you can, Lord. I pray for your Holy Spirit's anointing upon me as I preach and be with my voice, Jesus, in your name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. My voice was weak, and then I taught Good News Club, and so now it's weaker. So we'll see how it goes tonight. But last week, remember, we started in this passage in verse 1, chapter 7, and we saw the centurion, right? And centurion, he is over how many men? Do you remember? 100. And he talks about his position of authority. He's not saying it in a prideful way. He's not saying it for a prideful reason, but just simply as an understanding of this is, you know, I have this position of authority. But we see in the centurion something that Jesus says he hasn't seen in all of Israel, right? And we're going to see about his faith, this centurion's faith. Now, the centurion, what nationality was he? Roman. Right? He's Roman nationality. And so, I mean, you know, he did not, he wasn't of Jewish religion or faith or background. We're not told a whole lot about his background, but there's those things that we do know. We see this moment of faith in his life or through his life from what he's expressing and how he's acting it out to where he says, Lord, you just say the word and my servant will be healed. Right, we see that one of his servants, one of his slaves, was sick, and we see this caringness that comes from this centurion. Right, he cared about his servant. He it was a servant. It was a slave. Right, that was a big part of the culture at the time. But he had love and compassion for him. He had a care and desire for him, and we see that this faith. Of the centurion, we saw a few things last week. It says a faith that requests, right? Part of our faith and belief is requesting things of God, is asking things of God. This centurion asked Jesus to heal the servant, just the same as we need to ask of God, right? Through prayer and through dedication, through that fervency. We talked about that 2 weeks ago on Sunday morning, having that effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, that desire to just reach out and stretch out to the Lord and lay those things before the throne of grace. But we see that faith, that request. We also see a faith that realizes, right? This centurion realized in who Jesus was. He knew that he was talking to the Messiah, to the Son of God. We saw the authority of Jesus, how he has a name above every name. He is the head of the church, and he's at the right hand of God the Father. We saw those things from there. And then we saw, lastly, this is one of the last things we looked at, but a faith that recognizes, again, just recognizing of who Jesus is. Not putting it aside, but recognizing, realizing, and just bringing forth of who Christ is. I think sometimes in our Christian life, we forget that, right? Now, do I mean literally we forget who Jesus is? No. And I don't mean sarcasm. I don't mean disrespect. But I believe sometimes that's not at the forefront of our hearts and minds, right? When we think about Jesus, and do we really remember that he is the Son of God? The three in one of who Jesus is and what he has told us and what he's promised us in his word. And I believe oftentimes we forget that. We forget in whom we're praying. When we pray in Jesus' name, we're praying the name of God, right? And that should never be lost on us. That should never be missed upon what we think or who we are. And then we see something here so unique about this man. And Jesus is amazed by this man's faith. I wrestle with that a little bit, right? Jesus, he says, I've not seen a faith so great, not in all of Israel, right? Who is in Israel? Who's the people of Israel? The Jews. Who are the religious leaders? Pharisees, Sadducees, right? These are the guys who are supposed to have great faith. These are the guys who are supposed to be the leaders, the example. And here Jesus uses this Roman centurion as this physical, visible example in front of his disciples, in front of his apostles. And Jesus praises the centurion's faith in verse 9. It says, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. Just think about that for a minute, right? Kind of let that soak in just for a minute, that Jesus is calling out the centurion and he's saying with great faith this man has, the faith the centurion has. And that brings us down to verse 10 as we kind of wrap out this portion of scripture. But we see the miracle of faith. When they returned to the servant who had been sick, they found him whole. Look at verse 10 with me. We see this powerful remedy. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Now, what's the word whole mean? Healed, right? Or well again. Whatever sickness he had, and we're not given those details, whatever he had, most certainly we believe was life-threatening, but we don't know what it was. But when he came back, he was healed. Now, why was he healed? Yeah, because of the faith of the centurion in who Jesus is. And the centurion said, you don't need to come to my house. Remember, he said, I'm not worthy, right? And he said, you know, he knew the Jewish law that if a Jew could not enter into the house of a Gentile and stay clean, that would make them unclean. He says, I'm not worthy. He said, you just say the word and I know that you'll heal him just by saying it. Now, obviously Christ didn't need to even say it, but that faith that the centurion said, this accounts also in Matthew chapter 8. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Right? Jesus did that healing based upon the faith of the centurion. Just like he knew the heart and the faith of the centurion, Jesus knows our hearts today. When we pray to him, listen, he knows if we're being effectual and fervent. Jesus knows that, are we having that faith as a grain of a mustard seed, or are we just going through the motions? Are we just saying the words to make somebody happy? Are we just going through those sayings, or, you know, are we just reading down the list so that we can do it and we've checked the box? Jesus knows our hearts today. He's still able to provide for us in miraculous ways when we choose to believe in him, when we choose to have that faith in him. If he looked at our hearts, if he looked at our lives individually, and he does, what would he say about our faith? What would he say about our prayer life? Do we pray in faith, believing? Do we pray effectually and fervently, just stretched out before God and say, God, I'm coming before you with everything I have, with everything that I am. And I want to bring this to your throne. I want to lay this before your throne. I want to just bring this to you, Lord. We see here a particular reason in verse 10. God healed the servant because of the faith exhibited by the centurion. Now, here's something to understand. Jesus healed this servant because of the centurion's faith, not because of the centurion's works. What's something that the centurion had done for the Jewish people? Do you remember? He had built a synagogue. Right? The average person, when they do something, if someone comes and says, I'm going to build you a new church. Yes, please. right? That's exciting. And no doubt there's people that can do that and have done that and will do that. But oftentimes, what if people, how do they act or how do they treat that after the fact? Well, this is my church, right? Or you owe me, or I have some rights because of what I did. You see, the elders emphasized that the centurion was worthy, but the centurion himself stated that he was not worthy, right? These Jewish elders told Jesus of who the centurion was and all the great things he had done, the blessing that he had been, and they weren't trying to lift him up or magnify him, but the centurion says, no, I'm not worthy. Don't even come into my house. I'm just not worthy of you, Lord. Many people believe that they can earn favor or worthiness with God, but we are only worthy through the blood of Jesus Christ. The only worthiness we have is what Christ did for us, not what we have done or what we do or what we can do for Jesus, but rather only through what Jesus has done for us. It's possible the centurion built the synagogue in Capernaum, which is the possible reason why the elders chose to want to come to Christ and do that. Matthew chapter 10 says, "And he taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Right? Christ says, listen, if you're not willing to take up your cross and follow me, if you're not willing to put your money where your mouth is, right? Or put where the rubber meets the road, then you're not worthy. The faith of the centurion. God does not want us to try to work to earn his favor. He wants us to simply trust him by faith, right? That works mentality is not from God. It's something that the world has tried to and continues to try to influence and tries to sell. That's not what God wants. He doesn't want us just to do good things to kind of put another notch in our belt or another check mark on the paper. He wants us to serve him wholeheartedly. He wants us to serve him with all that we are and just simply trust him by faith. Have just that faith is the grain of a mustard seed. What does Jesus see in your faith? What does Jesus see in my faith? Is he marveling at our faith? Or is he looking at our lack of faith? If this Roman, with very little spiritual instruction, had that kind of faith in God's word, how much greater our faith ought to be? We have an entire Bible to read and study, right? Let's just take it out of this just for a moment. Just think about the centurion, right? To our knowledge, he had no biblical study or background or understanding. And yet he had this great faith in who Jesus is. How much more should we have in faith? We've got the entire Bible. We've got the complete, it's called the canopy, right? The entirety of the Bible. But yet, do we take the time to study? Do we take the time to read? Do we take the time to really grow closer to the Lord? Luke chapter 17, and the apostle said unto him, Lord, increase our faith. What's the Bible say? How can we increase our faith? There's a couple of things the Bible says. We're going to look at them, so if you don't remember, that's okay. If we ask God, he'll provide it. If it's within his will, if it's something that isn't amiss, right? But one of the first things is just that. It says, Lord, increase our faith. That's what the disciples were doing. They're saying, Lord, help our faith. Increase our faith. Increase our wisdom. Increase our knowledge of those things. The first thing we have to do is we have to have a desire for it. Right? We can't just go through those motions. We can't just kind of wish-wash through things. We've got to understand what that faith is and who that faith is in. It goes back to one of the first things we said tonight is understanding who Jesus is. Remembering who he is, remembering what he's done for us by saving us by his grace through faith. Romans 10:17. So that faith cometh by hearing, and then remember the rest of that verse? And hearing by the word of God. If you want faith, you've got to, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So ultimately, where's faith come from? The Bible. The Bible. If you want to increase your faith, if you want to increase your wisdom, if you want to increase your relationship with the Lord and your walk with him, The answer is simple. It's be in the Word. Be in the Bible. Be constant in season and out of season. Just be in God's Word. And you say, oh, Pastor, that's such a Sunday school answer. That's such a basic. I was thinking about this earlier today. I don't know why the Lord put this in my head, but He did. Sometimes I wonder what goes in my head. But anyway, we can't. I've had people say, well, you know, a lot of times your preaching, your teaching isn't very deep. That's fine. It's not hurting my feelings. You can call me stupid. I don't care. But the reason for it is this. We can't get to the next level until what? Until we have that first layer down. Right? And I've been working through this. There's a couple of messages coming up after we're done with James, and I don't want to, you know, the spoiler alert thing. But if you're building a brick wall, what's the first thing you have to do? You've got to have the foundation. You've got to have the base. Then once you have the base and you start building that brick wall, you can't be leaving gaps, right? I've never seen a wall be a successful wall that looks like Swiss cheese, right? And when it comes to our walk with Christ, when it comes to our relationship with Him, we've got to have that foundation where and how and firm and set. The first theme we had 2 years ago was a firm foundation, right? That we need that firm foundation on Christ. And really our faith is the basis of that. Why? Because without faith, we can't be saved. Without our faith, we aren't saved. We've got to have our faith in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, it says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Just talking about that faith, that's the way of salvation, is having faith in Jesus Christ. And again, I know it's Bible basics. I get it. But when you read the red parts of the Bible, again, what's the red parts of the Bible? Jesus' words, right? That's what He said. Literally, that's what the words of Christ that were spoken and recorded here on earth. And when you read those words, listen, they're very simple. They're very basic. You know what they're pointed towards? They're pointed towards two things primarily. And I know this is a kind of a general canopy statement. I do understand that. But number one is pointed towards the gospel. It's pointed towards salvation. And number two is pointed towards Christian growth. So if you say what's the theme in the Bible of what Jesus did or His life or His ministry, that's what it is. Is pointing people towards Jesus Christ for salvation, and is pointing people to grow closer to Him, right? To have that relationship in Him, to put themselves out of the picture and put Christ first. That statement that you've heard me say many times, less of me and more of Him. Less of what I want, of who I am, of what I desire, of what I feel like I need or what I deserve, and more of what Christ wants for me. More of what Christ wants in me and through me and how He wants to use me. But it all begins with that mustard seed of faith. Just that little dab of faith in order for us to begin that Christian growth. And then as we grow as a Christian, our faith will build. The wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, it will build. And it will grow and it will grow and it will grow. But we have to be in His Word. If we're not, we'll be spiritual infants our entire lives. I've met people in life who have been saved. I believe they're saved. And they've been in church for 40, 50, 60 years. And spiritually, they're still infants. Here's why. It's not, and some of them are super intelligent, right? It's not an intelligence thing. Why? The milk of the Word versus the meat of the Word isn't just understanding the great biblical mysteries, but rather is applying them to one's life. It's a matter of being molded in the image and the form of Christ. And if we're not doing that, if we're not applying these principles and making the change in us and in our hearts and lives, then we're not growing and we'll not have any spiritual depths in our life